following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
Right, right. It's not today. That's just a great show. Yeah, it's the principles of Islam, the basics of Islam. With Sheikh Yusuf Estes. It's just a great show. Every Friday, 2 p.m. Yeah, it's not today. This is Islam Today with Sheikh Yusuf Estes.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalat wassalam al rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sabi ajma'in. Ashhadu la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all the praises to Allah alone. The peace and the blessings be upon His last prophet, Muhammad. I bear witness and open testimony that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone, and He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His last and final messenger. And to proceed. You're listening to Islam Today, and I'm your host, Yusuf Estes. I'm the National Muslim Chaplain for the World Assembly of Muslim Youth and the delegate to the United Nations for the World Peace Summit of Religious Leaders. Certainly, that's a lot to remember, and it wouldn't really fit on my business card, so I'm glad that they only hold the conference every 10 years. We wanted to talk to you today a little bit about our programming and some of the things that you should expect from us here at Islam Today. We broadcast our program regularly and talking on the subjects that concerns Islam and the Muslims in the English-speaking world. A number of the subjects that we'll be discussing in detail will include Islam, what is it? Muslims, who are they? What are the basics of Islam? What are the beliefs? What about the holy book, the Quran, and something called the Sunnah, or the way of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and those hadiths or stories that are relevant to his life, the issues of Islamic law and Islamic rulings, the subject of education and science in Islam, the history of Islam, the issues for the family, and certainly about women and children, the invitation of Islam, and certainly the questions that a lot of you are going to be dealing with. You can present them to us, you can call in, you can email us, and we'll be dealing with these subjects, inshallah, God willing, here on Islam Today. We want you to share in this. This is your program, as much as it is ours or anybody else's. It's for you. So your participation is needed and appreciated. You can call in, or you can write in. You can write to us at islamtoday@ibn.net. Give us a little time to get back to you through the email, and certainly we'd like for you give us your permission to put your questions on the air, and we can deal with these issues in a very positive manner, inshallah, God willing. Today I'd like to just touch on some of the issues that I found many of you are concerned about. We receive a lot of emails and call-ins on these subjects. The correct belief in Islam. What is the belief in Islam? And how do we understand it? Where do we take that from? First of all, Islam is based on two principal sources. That is the Holy Quran, which is considered to be the actual speech of Almighty Allah, our Creator and Sustainer. The second source, after the Quran, is something called Hadith, the sayings and teachings of Muhammad. In the first case, the Quran, is something that is totally and completely unalterable. It never changes. There are no additions or versions of the Quran. It is one. It is in the Arabic language. The hadiths, or stories about Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, hold a very high status in Islam, and yet at the same time, these have to be considered or verified to establish the authenticity. So this gives us a little introduction on how we understand or come to conclusions on various questions. We look to the Quran And then we look to the things that Muhammad, peace be upon him, said about the Quran and its teachings, and certainly about his exemplary life that he exhibited as a prophet of Islam. Another subject that many will ask us about is the different groups within Islam, such as the Shiite, the Sunni, the Sufi, or something called Ahmadiyyan, Nation of Islam, and so on. And which of these would be right? There's an important article that we posted on the internet about this subject. But to sum it up, it would be to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, in his book, told us what Islam really is. Islam, from the Arabic language, is a word that carries five very clear meanings. Islam means the surrender to God. And it means the submission to God. The obedience to God. And the purity of intention for God. And peace. Peace with Almighty Allah, because we have totally and completely surrendered, submitted, obeyed with clear intention for Him. So this is why sometimes you hear people say Islam is peace. However, we'd have to realize that right away the word Islam doesn't actually mean peace, because the word for peace in Arabic is salam. And when Muslims greet each other, they say salam alaikum. But they don't say Islam alaikum, certainly. That means that Islam is a different word. It means the peace that comes because we have totally and completely surrendered ourselves to God on His terms. So that means then that any group within Islam, as long as they're doing the same thing, then they're in Islam. The condition would be set by Allah Himself. And as we mentioned a little earlier, of course, that means from the Quran and from the Sunnah. If we find it in the Quran and in verified hadith or sayings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, then certainly then we're going to consider that it's correct. These are some of the things that we'll be discussing. You're listening to Islam Today. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes. Stay with us now. We'll take a brief break and be right back with more Islam Today.
Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك.
How perfect you are, O Allah, and I praise you. Blessed be your name, and lofty is your position, and none has the right to be worshipped except you.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah. We're back. This is Islam Today. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes. One of the subjects that I would like to talk on just for a little bit is the Holy Quran and how it's understood to be mu'ajiza, or miracle, in Islam. The Quran does not mean, as some people might misunderstand it, it's not mean like the Bible or a book. Quran means something that is recited, whereas the Bible means a book. The Quran can be a book, it can be written down, and can be understood by reading it. But the actual word Quran itself means that which is recited. And the very first word revealed of the Quran to Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the word Iqra, which comes from the same root. It means you recite. It's the imperative of the word recite. You recite. An order to Muhammad, peace be upon him, to recite. How did the Quran come? Well, about 1400 years ago, a man by the name of Muhammad, living in the Arabian Peninsula, used to cut himself away from the people of the day and retreat back to a mountain and go there for what we might call a sabbatical, to rest and to contemplate on Allah and to pray to Him. He would fast, he would spend long hours in meditation and prayer. And one day, while he was there in the Mountain of Light near Mecca, the angel Gabriel came to him and faced him grabbed him, commanded him in the Arabic language, Iqra. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, replied to him, La ana bikari. I'm not of those who recite. And again the angel embraced him and held him close and said to him, Iqra. And he released him. And Muhammad said, Ana umi, I'm illiterate. I don't know how to read. I don't know how to write. I don't know what you want from me. And again the angel embraced him, Iqra. And then came the first words of the Quran in revelation to Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from the condemned devil. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Iqra. Bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. Khalaqal insana min 'alaq. Iqra wa rabbukal akram. Alladhi yalamu bil kalam. Alamul insana ma lam yalam. The translation of the Quran to any language is always very deficient. But I'll try my best to give you some sense of the meaning into the English language. When the angel embraced Muhammad, he held him close to him and he commanded him, read, recite, recite. And when Muhammad replied back that he wasn't able to do so, again the angel embraced him again and he told him, recite. He said, I can't, I'm illiterate, I don't recite. I'm not a poet. And he held him again with the same thing, recite. And then he said to him, recite in the name of your Lord who created man from a leech-like clot of blood. Recite, and your Lord is most bounteous, who taught man by the use of the pen, taught man what he didn't know. These were the first words of the Holy Quran that came 1400 years ago, and they're still preserved 100%, just as they were then, from mouth to ear. The Quran is preserved not so much as we might think of a book in a museum, but rather it's preserved alive in the hearts of millions of Muslims today. Actually, over 9 million people have been reported to have memorized the entire Quran who are living today on this planet. Imagine that, exactly, word for word, dot for dot, jot for dot. Every single word, every single sound of Quran preserved in the hearts of millions of Muslims. And not just Arabs. As a matter of fact, most of the Muslims today are not Arabs. Less than 15% of all Muslims are Arabs. Many of the Muslims are living in Indonesia, and certainly they don't speak Arabic there, yet they memorize the Quran in the original Arabic language. Even in my country, where I'm from, which is Texas, we memorize the Quran in the Arabic language, completely, cover to cover. If I recite the Quran, where I'm from, in Texas, in Arabic, and somebody's from Bangladesh, or India, or Saudi Arabia, he'll know exactly what I'm saying. In fact, if I make a mistake, he can correct me. Even if he doesn't know any English, and I don't know anything about his language, yet he can help me and correct me if I make even one single mistake. In most of the written versions of the Quran, which is to write it down on paper, the books, you'll find that there are over 600 pages. And on those 600 pages total, you're going to find 6,326 verses or ayahs of the Quran. It's divided into 114 chapters and 30 different major parts. And each part can be read in a period of an hour, hour and a half in the morning or evening, if you like, so that over a period of a month, a person could read the entire Quran, so that every year they could read the whole Quran 12 times. It's a very beautiful concept and a wonderful thing to have your complete book available to you any time of the day or night in any part of the world. And you would know that this is the book that was actually recited by the Prophet himself, peace be upon him. This is a little bit about the Quran, and you're listening to Islam Today. We love to share with you the things about Islam in today's world. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes. We'll take a break and we'll come right back with more on Islam Today.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar.
How perfect Allah is. All praise is for Allah, and Allah is the greatest. And this is said 33 times, followed by
لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير.
None has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, without partner. To him belongs all sovereignty and praise, and he is over all things omnipotent.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. We're back with Islam Today. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain. I would like to just touch on a couple of topics real quick. I'm going to ask you now to make some notes. I'd like for you to get your pencil and paper out and write down your thoughts or your comments or your questions. And I'd like for you to email it to us at islamtoday@ibn.net. Write to me, Yusuf Estes, and tell me your question. Let's see what we can do about your question. I'm going to mention some topics and issues, and I'd like for you to write to us on these. One of the things that we hear a lot about today is the behavior of Muslims. Does Islam teach what we see Muslims do? For sure, as we said earlier, Islam is something that you do. It's your relationship with Almighty Allah. But if your relationship with Allah is good, then certainly it follows that your relationship with Allah's creatures, the human beings, should also be good. It doesn't make sense that you'd be good with Allah, but you couldn't get along with the people. So there should be some demonstrable evidence of the person's Islam and his behavior and how he gets along with others. What does Islam teach us about our relationship with other people? Well, first of all and foremost, after our relationship with our God, which is Allah, is our relationship to our Prophet, peace be upon him. Naturally, we know that he is dead, but yet we have a relationship with what he left behind, which is called his Sunnah, and how we relate to his Sunnah, his teachings. And if he taught us to do things, do we actually follow that? Or do we try to innovate and do things on our own? Then after this would be our relationship with our parents. Whether or not our parents are Muslim is really immaterial. It still matters a lot how we treat them and how we behave with them. If we can't be good to our parents, then what kind of people are we? Those who cared for us when we were small and took care of us and fed us, certainly we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for our parents. But how do we treat them? And then how do we treat our siblings, our brothers and sisters? How do we treat our spouses, our husbands and wives? What is the treatment in Islam for the Muslims regarding their children? These are some of the issues I'd like for you to write about. Ask us. Let's talk about it. And how about our clothing, what we wear, and the places we go, our jobs, our employment? What can Muslims do? What should they stay away from? What's forbidden in Islam? What's haram? And what's halal? What's permitted is halal. What's forbidden is called haram. We can talk about these subjects. Many people ask us about the forbidden foods and drinks in Islam, the clothing, how we dress, the employment, the education. What can girls do? What can boys do? What does Islam really teach about these issues? Not the culture that we find in certain countries, and certainly not the traditions that we find amongst some very ignorant people, and not the behavior of the radicals or the extremists, but what is Islam saying about these issues? And how do we understand events that are taking place today around us all the time? Does Islam equal terrorism? In fact, we've published a whole series on that subject. We have a tape if you'd like to write for it. It's called Does Islam Equal Terrorism? Write to us and we'll send it to you free. Write to us at islamtoday@ibn.com. We're going to take a break and I'll be right back. Go ahead and get your pencil and papers out. Write this down. Address is important for you. IslamToday@IBN.com. That's the address you want to write your questions to. While you're at it, write down this internet website, IslamToday.com. IslamToday.com. Islam Today is open 24 hours a day and always plenty of free parking. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahumma aafini fi badani. اللهم عافني في سمعي اللهم عافني في بصري لا إله إلا أنت.
O Allah, grant my body health. O Allah, grant my hearing health. O Allah, grant my sight health. None has the right to be worshipped except you. This may be said three times.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. This is Islam Today. You're listening to Islam Today, being broadcast to you live right here on IBN Radio. And I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain to the World Assembly of Muslim Youth. And it's my privilege and honor to be with you here today. I always enjoy sharing my most favorite subject, Islam. I'd like to speak about one subject that a lot of people talk about and ask me about, is about those people who convert to Islam. And is it true that there are a lot of people who enter into Islam? And are they still coming into Islam in large numbers like we've heard about in the past? Or has there been any difference? Well, let's start at the very beginning of the whole thing. As a matter of fact, we don't even like to use the word convert to Islam. It implies, you know, that somebody's out here trying to convert people over from one belief to another and so on. And in reality, we as Muslims who were formerly in another religion and then we come to Islam, we like the term revert because we think of ourselves as going back to our natural state that we were in originally. And to understand that, we'd have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, God tells us, that all of us at one time were in the backbone of Adam before we were ever born. And he pulled all of us out of the backbone of Adam and he asked us the question, am I not your Lord? And we all said yes. And then he removed that experience from our memory. Nobody recalls that. We don't remember that. And then he put us back into Adam without the memory of that event. And so then we'll go through whatever life experiences that we'll go through. We'll be born, we'll live, we'll die, we'll be in the grave, and then we'll be resurrected, and we'll come back. And when we come back, we'll be back in the original state that we were, facing Allah. And now we're going to have to account for what we did, what we said while we were here on this earth, what choices we made. And so that's why we would say that we're actually going back or reverting back. Now, after we mention something that Allah said in the Quran, we like to refer to what His messenger, Muhammad, peace be upon him, has said about this subject as well. Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that all children are born on the fitra of al-Islam. And fitra in the Arabic language means natural inclination, your normal condition. So that children in their normal condition are already on Islam. Because, as we had mentioned earlier, Islam simply means that you totally and completely surrender, submit, obey in purity and in peace, Almighty Allah. And certainly children do that, don't they? Look at a baby, how innocent and sweet and loving they are. So, as a child is innocent and without sin when they're born, according to our understanding in Islam, so would be the person who is totally in Islam. He reverts back to the original state of innocence. And this can only be done when he totally and completely commits his heart, his mind, and his soul to Almighty Allah on Allah's terms. So that's why we would use the term revert. And now let's ask the question, are people reverting to Islam? Are a lot of people coming over to the Islamic faith today? Well, as a matter of fact, yes, that's a true thing. That's a true condition. Since 1970, we can look and realize through historical documents that many, many, many people have left other faiths on the earth to go into Islam. And as I said earlier, they don't consider it a so much a conversion as it is a reversion back to the natural state. We might look at other religions and ask, were they deficient? Is that why people wanted to leave it? Or was the person having some kind of difficulty in understanding that faith? And we might, as Muslims, say that, well, all religions certainly have things that are nice and pleasing and appealing. Yet those things which are the most rational and the most appealing to the common sense are certainly also found in Islam. Those who search for truth with a clear heart and an open mind very frequently enter into Islam. So much so that we find that priests, preachers, ministers, and leaders of religions other than Islam are turning to Islam in big numbers. We've posted an article about this on the internet at the website called islamtoday.com. You can visit the internet website by just typing in www.islamtoday.com. Visit the internet website there and see for yourself why so many are entering into Islam. I myself have posted my own story there about how I used to be a businessman, Christian, chaplain, coming into Islam, and really I would like to tell you just in simple words that I consider it not so much a conversion as it is a reversion, and I feel like I became an even better Christian by understanding more about what Christ actually taught. And for my own reasons, which I've posted there, I've chosen Islam as my way of life. And that's another point we might like to discuss in future programs, is Islam as a way of life. Does Islam provide for us everything that we need to know as a human being? If so, then certainly we can consider it as a complete way of life. Islam is based on the teachings of the Quran and the sayings and teachings of Muhammad, the last messenger of Almighty Allah. And so how would we understand it today? Well, in the upcoming versions of Islam Today, inshallah, God willing, you'll see. So visit us on the internet at islamtoday.com and visit us here on our show at Islam Today on IBN, broadcasting to you live from right here at Islam Today. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain, and I'll be happy to share with you again the next time on Islam Today. Until then, I greet you with the sayings of peace be upon all of you. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم.
O Allah, I have indeed oppressed my soul excessively, and none can forgive sin except you. So forgive me a forgiveness from yourself, and have mercy upon me. Surely you are the most forgiving, the most merciful.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.